Yes, it is. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. We just praise you, Father, for the things that you're doing. And oh, glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. We just praise you, Father, for what you're going to do tonight. Lord, I just thank you for your words that have been given to us over the last few years. And Father, the things that have encouraged us. And I'm going to read one right now because I think it is awesome. I don't remember where I wrote it from. I don't know where it came from, but it's applicable to today. Let yourself be embraced by my love, my grace, my thoughts, my mind, my heart. Fill your rooms with me, my fragrance. Ooh, glory to God, I've smelled that fragrance before, and it's awesome. My influence over you will start to break every seal that needs to be broken from my life and my fragrance to be released. When you are truly united with me, like a beautiful butterfly, you will break free from the cocoon and you will learn how to fly. Glory to God. This is unavoidable. Like little birds are being fed and nurtured and grow, the nest will sooner or later become too small for them. They will spread out their wings and fly. They will take the necessary steps so you will learn how to fly with me. Glory to God. Like a bird, you're called to fly. You were not born to be earthbound, but to be heaven free. Not in your power, your strength, child, but in the power of my spirit. You may see brokenness, but I see perfection. Perfected in me, you are. The wings of grace will carry you higher and higher, and you will soar. Years to brokenness, child. Your brokenness, child, is necessary for my capability. It is all about my strength, my power, not yours. See how your weakness, your brokenness, is the very entrance to my strength. This is a lesson to learn. My power, my strength, my capability, my life. I laid down life and see how my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Don't be afraid. Let go. Don't hide. Be embraced by love, by grace, and fill your rooms with me, and I will teach you everything. I will teach you how to fly. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Glory be to God forevermore. Lord, we just thank you for this word. We thank you, Lord, that we do want to fly with you, and we just completely deny ourselves and just want you to come alive in us, Lord. Let that holiness pervade out of each and every one of us, Lord. Let that perfect man come forth in power and authority and love and joy and peace. And fly above the heavens. We thank you, Lord, that you're the one doing it in us. And we praise you, Father, for all that you are doing in each and every one of us. And give us the bold faith to believe, Father, that you are breaking the old man out and bringing the new man, a new creation up in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Lord. Glory be to God that you're doing it in each and every one of us. In Jesus' mighty name. Woo, my. Does anybody here believe that?
Hallelujah,
Lord of God.
Brother.
Thank you, Jesus. Come on,
thank
Lord.
Thank you, Father. Amen. Hallelujah.
All right, David, go ahead, brother.
Hey, everybody, can you hear me?
Hey, buddy.
There's a dream I had last night that I'd like to share, if that's all right.
Okay, you sound like you're talking through a towel or something. It's muffled.
Yeah, it's just... I'll come back right now, hold up.
Okay, we can probably hear you, understand you, it's just muffled a little bit. Sounds like you got a rag across the microphone. That sounds like. All right, anybody else while he's coming back? Hey, Benjamin. Yeah. You, brother. Amen. Yeah, we can, Julie. In the name of Jesus, right now, I command this internet to be open for everybody, and all the audios be perfect. No more missing out on anything. And I thank you, Father, that it's going to be 100% audio, video, and everybody's going to get a chance to say what they want to say without any interruptions. In the name of Jesus, we command you, Satan, get your hands off our people's communications. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, David, go ahead. It's going to be fine.
Now. Amen.
I joined off my phone really quick. Just we got a desktop. We're still trying to figure out the whole microphone thing. So, but anyways, I had a dream last night. God moved us again to a house, and it was up a really steep hill to where I even had to turn four-wheel drive on my SUV to get there. And when we got to the house, it was absolutely beautiful house, like anything you could ever imagine. And later we went to a church, and when we got there, there was a lot of people, and it was such a high ceiling church, and everybody's just freely praising God and worshiping. And I was like, man, this is pretty cool. And I look up onto the ceiling, and there was a big bald eagle just flying across, and there was just a big glow, and a voice came and it said, "This is my church for whom I've chosen." And after that voice ended, I just got filled with the Spirit, and I just started praying in the Spirit, and it was just awesome. And then I looked at my wife, and I was like, in the dream, I looked at my wife and I was like, I just had a vision. And I was like, I'll tell you later. And then a little girl came up on stage and she started singing. And I looked at her and I was like, she looks familiar. I was like, who is that? And then I realized it was Zoe, fully healed. And I was like, wow, just praise God. And it was awesome. So I had to share it. Praise God.
Amen. Amen. Be sure and send that to Chuck and Winnie. Did you hear me, David?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, I'll do that. Yeah, send it to me too. That's awesome. I saw a vision of her healed here not too long ago, a few days ago. All right. Who else? Lord, we just thank you for these visions and these dreams that you give us, even visions inside of dreams, Lord God. We thank you for them, Father, that they are awesome and they're encouraging. And we just praise you, Father, for bringing David and Alina and all the kids up on Mount Zion into that great big house for them, Lord. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. All right, Benjamin, go ahead, brother.
Hi, I'm Andrew's son. Nice to meet everyone.
Really?
Yes. <I'm his> son.
Amen.
I had a dream a couple of days ago. I told my dad about it, and he helped me interpret most of it. And at the end, there was something that a little bit confused him. I'm kind of hoping you guys could help me out with it. I'll obviously tell you guys the whole dream, but I'm in a movie theater / arcade, and I'm walking through, and there's someone there, basically preaching about Jesus. And I'm like, oh, that's weird to do that in a movie theater. And so I listen to her for a little bit, and I'm like, okay, I'll keep walking. So then I walk by, and then there's a girl in behind me following me, saying blasphemous things about Jesus, mortalizing him. And then I turn around and I tell her about her salvation, and I tell her about the gospel. And I try to tell her what she's saying is wrong. And then she totally denies it all, and she mortalizes Jesus and telling him, like, telling me, like, oh, Jesus was just a man, you know, he had all sexual, like, thoughts, and, you know, he had evil thoughts. And at that second, I've never done this in a dream before, I started praying in my dream, which is the first time I've ever prayed in a dream. And I started not only praying for myself, but also for her to, you know, save me and also save her, so that what she's saying doesn't cloud my mind as well. And then after I pray for her, she walks away. And after she walks away, I say, the blood of Jesus is what saves you. And then she dashes around a corner. And at that same second, a man turns around the corner. And I don't know if you guys have ever seen Austin Powers, but this man looks like Dr. Evil, you know, bald head. And he's looking at me intently to try and scare me. And then I point at him to rebuke him away, but I don't say any words. I roar like a lion. And then he gets scared, turns around, runs away. And then as he's running away, he splits in two and he keeps running. And then that's it. That's the part we don't understand, is in splitting in two.
He's showing you his authority that's in you, the authority that you have over all the power of the enemy. It's what it looks like to me. Someone else may have something else, but that's what it looks like to me. You got the power, brother. Luke 10 and 19 gave it to you.
Yes. But I just don't understand, why is he splitting in two?
Oh, I didn't hear that part. What split in two?
Dr. Evil.
Oh, he did?
There is two of them.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, Claire.
What a cool dream. It sounds a bit like the first few Proverbs. You know, my son, do not go down the way to the evil woman. Proverbs 6 is coming to me, but I don't know if that, yeah, maybe just have a read at Proverbs 6. And I think Mr. Evil, or Dr. Evil, the Lord says that a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. And so the enemy will always be divided. He'll always be conquered and divided by the Lion of Judah, which is in you, which is the Spirit of Christ, and in every one of us believers. And when he roars, jump back.
Amen. All right, that's good. Go ahead, Pat.
excuse me, I'm going to chime in exactly with what Claire is saying, because it's interesting that the first person, or the second person you met that came up behind you and was saying blasphemous things, that at that point you turned and started praying. And not that that is bad, but in the face of evil like that, I think the Lord wants to teach us to speak at it. And so in that dream, I think it's kind of showing a growth of maturity. The first step, you simply prayed, and then when Dr. Evil actually came around the corner, and I'm assuming it was in a fearful appearance of some sort, you then took authority and when you took the authority that you had been given in Christ, he scattered. And that reminds me of Psalm 23 verse 4, where God leads us through all the paths of righteousness into all of the places that we need to feed our soul. And then through that process, there's always a process where he leads us into fear. And it's in that fear, as we have two reactions. We can turn and run, or we can face that fear and walk into it and let God strip the fears off of us and bring us into that place of fellowship and worship in Him, and Him becoming real to us. If you read that psalm, you see where David's moves from the first, I think it's the first, I'm not an English student, obviously, you can tell, but he moves from one tense to, he moves from saying, the Lord does this, the Lord has done this, he leads me this way, he does this. But in verse 4, when he walks into that fear, then it's no longer talking about the Lord, it's talking to the Lord. He says, though you guide me through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, etc. And that's a place where that authority, we scatter the enemy through that by dividing him, through walking into that fear and trusting God to shatter that. So I just saw a maturing, growing process in that dream there. So, cool.
Amen. Thanks. That's a good dream. Go ahead. Go ahead, Greg.
I had my hand up for Marilyn, actually.
Okay, Marilyn. Yeah, go ahead, Marilyn.
Well, actually, Claire went ahead and, you know, she got the interpretation that I got, that that was just a little Lord with his response, sending confusion into the enemy camp and the
house divided
and just bring in faction to the faction.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Go ahead, Claire.
The more I'm thinking of this, I feel like the Lord's showing me that this is maybe a call to deliverance. You know, you're walking in this dark place with all these neon lights, which is fake lights. But you know who the Lord is, and there's all these spirits behind you, you know, which are can be seen as hindering spirits, unbelief, lack of faith, you know, and the Lord says an unstable man, you know, is spit out. Like, we're not allowed to not have belief. It's sinful. And you do speak to that in the dream, but is it not maybe of putting this to flight in your just personally in and for all of us personally to put to flight these things, to actually wage war against them and be delivered from these spirits of unbelief, these spirits that are hindering us? It just seems like it's a bit of a deliverance message as well.
Amen. You know what else? That's a good dream, Benjamin. Great dream.
Yeah, now you said, I want to get this real quick, brother. When Mr. Evil slapped his face there, right? What did you do again?
I immediately, I pointed at him and tried to make up words to rebuke him, but I just ended up roaring like a lion.
Oh, okay.
Praise God.
Very good, brother. Yeah, because I thought you were using the word on him. We know the word is the sword of the spirit, so, you know, that divides also. But you roared at him, so that's, you probably scared him out of himself.
Amen. All right. Go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, I don't want to hog the airwaves here, but
you do.
It also reminded me of an experience that I had, and the Lord brings this back to me a lot of times, and I guess it's probably why I hang on Psalm 23 so much. But when I was a young boy, this would be obviously before I was a Christian, but when I was a young boy, in our neighborhood, there was a dog, a white dog that was very mean. barked a lot, and if you came close to it, the owner had it on a chain, and it would just growl and whatever, like it was going to tear you apart and attack you. And it was always on that chain and trying to get to you and everything. Well, one night I was walking home across the field, and it was dark. I lived out in the country at the time, so I was walking across the field going home, and I could hear this growling, pattering of feet, very silent. It was a silent, there was no noise out where we lived in the country. And I could hear this running behind me of something coming up, growling, and it got closer and closer. And I turned around to look, and all I saw was a white streak coming toward me. And growling was just getting deeper and deeper and, more angry as it got closer. And in a split second, it's funny, I crouched down on the ground like this, and I went, ah! I had to do that for the, that, and it was a reflex. But that dog went, just slammed on the skids and looked at me, turned around and ran. It was like boom. Well, and I thought, what in the heck? And so I ran after that dog and chased it down. I hate to say this to old PETA lovers, but I beat the, never mind, I won't say it. But I went, I chased that dog down. I was like all adrenaline pumping in me, and I was chasing him down and kicking him and everything like that. The owner had to come out and get me off of him, or get the dog away from me. Anyway, the point is, I learned, I also later on in my, youth, had a neighbor or somebody of another neighborhood who was picking on me at riding to school on the school bus. And I don't know what I did or what he did or whatever, but he was going to beat me up, basically, was the idea. He's going to, want to kick me into next year. And I kept telling him, no, I don't want to, don't want to fight you. Don't want to fight you. I don't, what are we fighting about, this and that? He just kept on. And I was really, because he was a lot bigger than me, and I was really kind of afraid of him. I'm not the type that gets in fights anyway. But I finally said, okay, where do you want to go? We'll go fight and go off the bus, and I'll meet you over at such and such place tomorrow, and we'll fight. The next day, he caught me on the bus. And when he came in, he said, look, I got something to do tonight. I'm not going to be able to make it over there. Let's do it the next night. Or said, fine, we'll do it then. And then the next day on the bus, well, you know what? I really had a problem getting over there. And I said, listen, man, I don't want to fight you. And then it just disappeared. It dissipated. And I guess out of that process, I learned that the first thing that happens is you have fear rise up in your heart, but the moment you push back and you walk into that fear, it dissipates for whatever reason. I don't know why, but you push back and it dissipates. Now, I mean, that was the lesson that I learned through that process. And it kind of is reinforced in what you were saying there. When you turned around and you pointed to him and rebuked him, he scattered. So I don't know if there's a principle in effect there of some sort, but it definitely worked in my life. So I just wanted to share that.
Amen. Everybody's run across in the booth. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, kind of like what Pat was saying, you know, confront your fear. We're looking at this in a spiritual sense. And, you know, we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but with principalities and rulers of darkness. So you got to kind of, Pat's speaking to us a parable, you can say. And we have to confront that fear. When we confront that fear, another thing that comes to me is what Job said, the very thing that I fear has come upon me, you know? So when we just confront that fear and call its bluff, you know, because it really has no power over us. We're the one that has the authority. We have authority over the principalities and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. So just confront our fears, you know, and in the spiritual realm, always knowing that who our real enemy is, and it's not people. And use the authority, our authority, and command it to go. Lord didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. So there's a lot of thought on fear, but that's just what I was seeing.
Amen. Anyone else?
Amen.
All right, Joe, go ahead, brother.
Sounds for me like it is his walk. He started up as a very immature Christian. He's walking into the world with a church, a little bit of a church chirping him. More he walks, and later when the devil splits, when he roared before the devil or the enemy splits, the enemy recognized him as a serious believer. That's why he roared, and by splitting the church and the faction in the church and faction in the world. So it's a real enemy to them now. He was, as a Christian, just a normal, everyday guy, but now he's more mature. He's active as a believer, not mere as a Christian. That's all
right. That's right. He knew his authority, and the devil knew that he knew his authority, and he knew he had to get out of there. Amen. That's a good lesson. When you know your authority. I remember I told y'all about this, but I'm going to say it again. I was over in Memphis in May many years ago, and I was with a bunch of Baptist boys, and we went over to evangelize in Memphis in May. It's a festival that they have in Memphis. It's a hellish thing of drugs and all that kind of garbage going on, and it's just, anyway, we got out there kind of late that evening, drove up there, and we were staying at a Baptist church ministry building, and they had put us up for the night. Anyway, we were out there, and I was out there by myself, and I was going out there looking around and talking to people, and I saw these two boys coming out, and I got to talking with them, and one of them had I saw the demon. The demon was big as Texas, man. That was a big old bad looking demon. I said, oh my goodness, I'm in the wrong place. And anyway, I got out of there, and I went back to the Baptist place. It was about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. And I was sitting there praying, and the Lord told me to go out in the parking lot. And I went out in the parking lot, and I started praying and asking the Lord, Lord, if I'm gonna do this for you, this ain't right. I said, I'm scared of that thing. And about that time, I saw a big white dog about 2 blocks away. This is a great big parking lot. It's a big church. But off in the distance, I saw this big white dog, and he was loping toward me. This is about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. He was loping toward me. And I said, what is this? And the dog got closer, 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 closer. And he was probably about 100 feet away. And I said, in the name of Jesus, you stop there and go back where you came from. And that dog was just like a cartoon, man. His back leg went up in front of his front legs, stopping, you know. And he turned right around and headed right back where he came from. And the Lord spoke to me at that moment. He said, that's the authority that I've given you over the enemy. Now go back out there tomorrow and don't be scared. So I wasn't scared anymore after that. I knew that God was to have my back, and that enemy didn't have any power over me at all. So that's the truth. You know, it don't make any difference how big you are. They still have to bow down to Jesus. Praise God. All right. Anyone else? Now, I was spirit-filled at that time with a bunch of Baptists. Now, figure that one out. Yeah, I know. Amen. Yeah, listen. When we understand who we are in Christ, when we understand that it is Christ in us, and when Christ came into us, he created a new man. We are that new man. And when he came into us and told us to go out into the world and preach the gospel, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, and all of those things, he gave us all the tools to do it with. When he came in, he didn't leave nothing behind. He brought all his stuff with him. And you have that stuff available to you and me. We all have it. And when we go out in boldness, but with a lot of love. And that love is what does it. When you see somebody out there in need, and you know when you put your hands on them, they're going to get set free. Bless God, I'll tell you what, that's Jesus. And then you can bring them to Jesus. That's why it's necessary for us to understand who this new man is, who this great Jesus is inside of us. We're humble enough to understand that we ain't got no power at all without him. But how many of you know we got him to every degree that we want or need? And you got to know that when you go out there ministering to the people in the public, that it's not you, it's Jesus going. It's him going. And you humble yourself to the Lord and the word, you'll see miracles like you never thought you'd see before. You'll see blind eyes see. You'll see people coming out of wheelchairs like we saw last weekend. You'll see all kinds of things that you never thought was possible. You'll see people like Zoe heal completely just like that. Because it's not you doing it. It's the Holy Spirit in you that does it. Glory to God. Yeah, George.
Well, in the words of a prophet friend that used to visit us out in Oklahoma, he said he never wanted the ministry to be a dog and pony show. But last time he visited, when I was there, our friend that worked at the vet, Ray, had prayed for a dog that died. They'd given him way too much of some kind of medication and it killed him, and he prayed for it and it came back to life. And he happened to be telling that story when that guy came through, that prophet. He's like, man, of all the times for me to tell y'all, I didn't want no dog and pony show. And then also my wife's favorite story of a bad German shepherd charging her. And she said, in the name of Jesus, and that thing stopped, peed, and went about as he went on down the road. She said he laid down when she said that. I'm done.
Oh, my. Great story. Great story. Well, I remember my best friend at one time, Buddy Oliver. He had a little old dog. He just loved that little old dog. He backed over that thing with a two-ton truck. And he went in the house and went to crying. I thought, my goodness, I smashed that poor dog. And he called me and told me about it. And I don't remember if we even prayed or not. I don't think we ever prayed for the dog. But the next, when he saw the dog was smashed, man. Next morning, that dog was at the door waiting on me. Oh, my. Yeah, that was a wonderful, wonderful time for Buddy. God loves us enough to give our pets back to us when we are stupid enough to run over them, you know? All right, anybody else? Yeah, Missy.
You know, I was thinking about my mom and dad earlier and about asking for a prayer for them. And because of all that you've been sharing lately on all this, Michael, I'm like, Lord, how do you want me to deal with this? you keep saying that it's our faith and not their faith. And it's important. Although the Lord did, people that actually went to him, it was obviously they had faith. That's why they went to him. And he said, your faith has made you whole and the like. And even the Syrophoenician woman, her child had a demon. And, you know, he said that he only came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and it's not good to give the children's bread to the dogs. And she says, yeah, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that underneath the master's table. And he said, exactly what he said, but he commended her for her faith and her daughter was delivered within the hour or something. I don't know if I'm getting this all straight, but because I was reading different stuff and I'm not sure if I'm getting everything. I'm not sure if I'm getting the same straight.
But. Missy, the thing that you're talking about is awesome because it wasn't herself that she was asking for prayer about. She was asking it for her daughter, someone that was away from her.
Right. Right.
So, yeah, you don't have to.
But, you know, it's like, you know, I was just like talking to the Lord. I'm like, Lord, it's just one thing after another with my parents, you know, which is, you know, for the world, that's par for the course, you know, in the natural for elderly people. Gosh, you know, it's like sometimes I go tilt, you know, I'm like, my parents are elderly. How old does that make me? You know, I'm like, but anyway, it's just like time has just gone by so quickly. And the enemy, you know, the curse has crept up, you know, quickly here upon them in the past few years in particular. But anyway, and I just want to pray for them. And, you know, I really have my heart goes out to my mom because in the natural, she has two bad knees. And was talking to her last night, and she said that, you know, it's one thing or another that she hasn't been able to have at least one of them replaced, you know, and she said she's just, she says, I know there's a reason for it. And she says the Lord's in control or whatever. And I'm like thinking, yeah, because the Lord wants to get the glory and the praise for it, you know? And I can particularly feel for her because, you know, I'm going through a trial with my one knee, you know, it's healed. It's trial of my faith, and manifestly it's getting better, but I see the end from the beginning. I always imagine it, you know, I imagine myself, you know, doing what I can't do now, you know, or, you know, the inflammation gone down and it looks thinner than it's, you know, it is and so on. But anyway, so I really feel for my mom. So having said all that, I'd like to pray for them. My mom, she told me last night that she had a test done and they told her why she was having problems with diarrhea and it's pancreatitis. And then today I get an email. my dad had a pacemaker put in 4.5 years ago. It was supposed to last 8 years, but it hasn't. And so they're going to do a consultation the 4th or 5th of May or something like that. Not May, April. And about putting another one in and rewiring it or whatever, doing it differently so it doesn't, you know. And I'm like, Lord, So it's so much easier to pray for my dad. I'd love, you know, I relish in the times where I get my dad by myself, you know. But Father, I just, I know that you can, it's your will. And Lord, I pray that, and I know it's you. It's you. It's not me. It's you in me. I have no power, but you've given me the authority to pray and believe. And I don't know how you want me to do that. I don't know if you want me to actually go and pray with them, or you want me to do it over the phone, or you want me to do it just right here and now. Father, I've been asking you to preserve my mom and dad, and keep them until you restore them. And I don't think you want us to wait until, you know, I mean, we know we got this Joel's restoration. We got this great revival coming and many people are going to be healed and restored and everything. And I want to have the boldness that you want me to have now, Lord. And I don't know if it depends at all on my parents willing to receive or not. I know you went into your hometown, Lord, and you could not heal many because of their unbelief. And I don't know if that means that they didn't come to you, or when you prayed for them, it didn't happen because they were unbelieving. It doesn't say.
No, he said all that came to him were healed. All that came to him were healed.
Right. I know that's how he always said before. So I don't think that it was that the Lord ever prayed for anybody and they weren't healed. So I tossed that idea out. So Father, I just praise you and thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in me, what you're doing in my parents, Lord, that you're preparing them. You're preparing me, and I'm not quite sure how to pray. So having said all that, Michael, I'm just gonna Ask you, okay, Craig.
All right. Y'all shut your eyes and imagine this, because her mother and her dad fixing to get healed. They're going to know it. Okay? Y'all believe that? Does anybody not believe that? Get on out. We don't need no unbelief in here. Do like Jesus did. We're going to clear the room. But we can believe for them, Missy. You are their daughter, and you can believe with me, and we will pray the prayer of faith, and God will heal them. In the name of Jesus, right? What's your mom's name?
Betty.
What's your dad's name?
Glenn.
How much?
Glenn.
Glenn. Betty and Dick Glenn. All right, Lord, we lift up Betty to you. Sure, she's a child of yours, but Lord, she just doesn't know a whole lot about faith. And Father, we just ask that you show her faith through us, and we praise you for it, Father. In the name of Jesus right now, I take authority over these knees, these bad knees that Betty has, and I command you by the power and authority and the blood of Jesus to leave her now in Jesus' name. You go from her, and I command those knees to be whole. I command them to be strengthened. I command them to be normal, that Betty can walk normally without any problems. In the name of Jesus. Now you get from her in the name of Jesus. Now you go from her pain. You go right along with her in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, that Betty's knees are completely whole in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father. Now, Betty, get up, go to walking around because you're healed in the name of Jesus. And we lift up Glenn to you, Father. In the name of Jesus, we lift him up. And we command this spirit of infirmity off of him. I don't care whether it's in his heart, his mind, or wherever it is. I command you to go from him now in the name of Jesus. Glenn, you be whole. You be free, brother, in the name of Jesus. I loosen your tongue right now to start speaking and glorifying God in the name of Jesus. And I praise you, Father, that Glenn is whole. And he can get up and jump around and praise God all he wants to, along with his wife, Betty. And both of them are going to praise you and give the glory to you, Father, throughout that area in the name of Jesus. And I praise you, Father, that they are healed, delivered, and set free, because your word says when we pray and we believe what we pray, that they shall receive it. And I thank you, Father, that it is done in the name of Jesus. You said by his stripes, you were healed. They were healed 2,000 years ago. We believe it. Now, infirmities go from them in the name of Jesus. And I praise you, Father. I praise you for this complete healing in both of these, Betty and Glenn, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that they will share the gospel because of it, in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Does everybody believe that? Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. It is. It is finished in the amen. Name of Jesus.
Amen. Woo.
My.
That pancreatitis to go in the name of Jesus. You itis verse, spirit, you go in the name of Jesus. And I
amen.
You put any foul symptoms on my mom anymore. Diarrhea, go in the name of Jesus. And I even prayed last night that she would not be getting up and having diarrhea in the middle of the night a couple times, that it was gone for good in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you,
now,
Lord.
You know, you know what your job is now, don't you, Missy?
To tell them they're healed.
They're healed, and don't speak anything but no, I ain't believe. Look, you're healed in Jesus' name. I don't care what your eyes see or what your body feels. Bless God, you're healed, because we prayed the prayer of faith, and we know what the prayer of faith does. It heals people. You're healed, Mama. You're healed, Daddy. Come up out of there in the name of Jesus. All right, Lana.
Can I say something else?
Yeah.
I forbid a new pacemaker to be put in my dad. Because he is healed. And Lord, I know that you're going to show them that he does not need it anymore. And I forbid any any witchcraft or pharmakia to be put on my dad just for the sake of making a dollar.
Amen. I mean, Lord, I thank you that when they make the test, they're going to see that his heart is perfectly fine. They're going to tell him, well, the reason this thing ain't working right is because he don't need it. And I thank you, Father, for it. And Lord, I thank you for even taking it out of there and just confounded the doctors over there. And I call them doctors by, well, I ain't going to say it in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. Thank you for hearing my parents. Thank you, Jesus.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. I see an eagle flying over their house. Go ahead, Laura.
Hi, everybody. I just wanted to ask for prayer. Our household has come under attack again. Both Maximus and Theo have been fevering since this afternoon, and it's looking pretty rough. Theo and I have prayed over this. We've been casting it down and we're not receiving this attack. And I just wanted that y'all to agree that the boys, that this fever is gone and any infirmity trying to attach itself to them or anybody else in our household has been commanded out and is not coming back. Thank you.
Amen. We agree with Lana and Theo that this infirmity has to go out of this household and not come back. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we command you, spirits of infirmity, on the boys, you go from them right now. Max and Phil, you be healed in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, be healed, be whole, be set free from any kind of symptoms whatsoever in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that you, when as this is being done, you're putting strength in them, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for your warrior angels round about the Gauchico's house. And I praise you, Lord, that no more. Is this going to happen in the name of Jesus? And we praise you, Father, for doing this for Theo and Maximus. We praise you, Lord, that they are healed, delivered, and set free, and they're going to sleep good tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody believe that? We praise you, Lord, for that. Glory, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Praise you, Lord. Amen. It is done, Lana. Thank you, Lord. All right, Nick, go ahead, brother.
Sorry, I'm a little late.
Oh, that's okay.
My dad had a dentist appointment this morning at 9 o'clock and he got the rest of his teeth out. So he has no more teeth.
Okay.
And he's going to get dentures now. Okay. So.
Well, praise God, he'll be able to eat some corn again, won't he? Thank you, Jesus.
Right now, he can only eat soft stuff, not hard stuff. So
yeah, amen.
Well, I call him now is toothless. I call him toothless now.
Oh yeah, make him feel real good, don't you?
Yeah.
Amen. All right, Dick. Well, Lord, we just thank you for taking the pain away from his grandpa. We praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Nick. Anybody else? iPhone. That must be Geneva. Hey, girl.
Hey. I just wanted to ask for prayer. Tomorrow I have... I don't know if I want to call her a nanny yet, but she's coming over. I've already met her a few times and so has Morgan. But whenever I do go back to work, she was, you know, going to watch the baby for like 2 hours, whatever it is that I'm like out in the field until like I get back home. But the thing is like, I don't, we found her on a, like, it's called, like, Nanny Lane or something website. And, like, obviously, I'd rather not have to have a nanny at all. I'd rather just be at home. And I'm still believing in Jesus' name, which you prayed, Michael, that when the time is right, I will be a stay-at-home mama. But right now, I'm thankful for what the Lord has already blessed me with. But I just want to ask for prayer, I guess, kind of that. Because I'm not totally decided yet, you know, and I don't want to, like, make a decision out of, like, haste or anything. I guess I just want to pray that the Lord blesses me with discernment tomorrow, you know, when I see how she is, you know, how she holds the baby, just kind of how she is around the baby, you know, and just see how I feel, I guess, about, I want my feelings to be the Lord's, obviously. So I just want, I want the Lord to bless me with discernment, you know, and that this is good. And she is, she's a Christian. And she actually told me, like, right off the bat, she was like, I hope it's not a problem. She's like, but I'm not vaccinated. She's like, and I don't really believe in that type stuff. And I thought that that was, like, really huge that she just came out and told me that. And I was like, no, I was like, I actually really appreciate you telling me that, you know. And we kind of start, we started talking about the Lord and things like that, you know. She is a really sweet lady, real calm, you know. She seems real down to earth. I just want to make sure that I'm, you know, because this is our baby, that I'm being led completely by the Lord, you know, for later on when I go back to work. So if you all would say a prayer, that would be great.
Okay. Well, Lord, we just ask and we pray. Whatever your will is, that it be done. And if this is not the avenue that you want her to take, Geneva to take, Father, close the door. And we thank you for that. But Lord, if it is, give her peace in heart, peace in her heart that this is what you want her to do. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you that if this is the lady you want her to have to watch after the baby, then Lord, make it known to Geneva that it is. And if not, also make it known to, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just thank you for blessing Geneva and Morgan and Micah. And I think that was the baby's name, right? Yeah, okay. I remember. Praise God. Got the memory of Christ. Thank you, Lord. All right. Lord, we just thank you for being with Geneva and Morgan during this time. And Lord, I thank you for joy and peace in their heart at all times, that you're near, you're here, and you're right there with them. In the name of Jesus, we bless that baby to be protected by you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Father. I hope that was what you wanted, but that's what I felt like I needed to pray.
No, that was perfect. Thank you, Michael. No, that's, yeah, that's exactly what I wanted. And you're right. She's completely protected by the Lord. And I just been praying. And anytime, you know, because obviously, like, with newborns, you know, they like to cry and things of that sort. Start praying in the spirit because I don't know what else to do. And she always calms down. So amen. That's. Lord definitely is got his hand over her, so she is his.
Amen. Okay. All right, Lana, go ahead.
Hi again. I actually wanted to ask for additional prayer for Theo's Aunt Yelena, who we prayed for, who was in a coma and has finally come out of it. I know my husband was talking to her son earlier today, and I forgot to ask for details, but I did happen to overhear her son mention that she is not talking yet. She can't talk, even if she tried. Something, I don't know if it's with the paralysis that they were expecting or whatnot, but if we all could just pray and agree together that this is going to be gone in the name of Jesus, this paralysis and inability to speak, and that the Lord is going to restore her ability to talk and everything else that she's unable to do at this time in the name of Jesus.
Amen. What's her name, Elena?
Her name is Yelena.
Yelena. Okay. Lord, we just thank you for a complete healing. Lord, we don't accept a partial healing. We accept a full healing. That's what your word says. And we thank you for it, Father. We loose her tongue and we loose her body right now from this paralysis in Jesus' name. There's no effect going to be on Yelena. In Jesus' name, and Father, we thank you that when she comes out of it, completely is able to talk, she's going to give you the praise, Father. And we thank you for it, Father. We believe, Lord, that you are going to complete this work in Yelena. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen, and amen. It's done. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, my. Go ahead, David.
I have a praise report I'd like to share. When we're at UBM, I shared the story of how my chain fell off my bike on the way home the day before we were supposed to go to UBM. And after that, I got to thinking that whenever my oldest daughter, Adelina, she wouldn't feel so good at night, or there's a storm, she would get scared and run into our room, and she would want to sleep with us, and our bed isn't big enough for three. And I was like, and after UBM, I was like, you know what? I was like, I got the bike to save money on gas and stuff like that. And it was doing really good. I was getting 55 miles a gallon. But I was like, right? I was like, if God gave me a raise right whenever we needed money for everything, why am I searching for other ways to save even more money when he clearly shows that we're not supposed to store up treasures? And I was like, and we came home from UBM trip, which was awesome. Praise God. It was definitely a blessing. And I got a chain put on my bike, and I was like, whatever, I'm just going to sell it with everything, all my gear, all the helmets, the clothing. And I posted it all. And the next day someone took it like that quick. And it was for a good price. We didn't lose any money. And we were able to get us a new bed. So now, and it was awesome. And praise God for that. And man, I'm still listening to that song, Michael. Go to enemy's camp and tear him down. I found it on YouTube, and that's like my daily song. I have to hear it every day, and I love that song. whenever I saw how all the UBM was singing it live, it was just awesome. Praise God.
Yeah, that's a good song. We get a little bit wild with that. Angelica and the girls get out there with the kids and dance with them out in the middle of the floor. It's awesome. I try to. We jump up and down every now and then. All right. Yeah, that's a good song. That's ringing in my head. I'll be listening to that all night long, David. Thanks. All right. You know what else? Praise God. I feel the power of God, don't y'all? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, let me see here. Is David Nelson over here? I thought I saw him earlier. Yeah, I thought he was on earlier. But I was going to have y'all, if you had any comments about the way he talked the other night, see if you had any comments on how he talked. You know, we had about 15, 20 minutes, about all we had to do that with. But if anybody had any comments they wanted to make about his teaching the other night, I for one thought it was pretty good, really. I enjoyed it. Okay. All right, has anybody got anything they'd like to talk about? Anybody got any questions? We're looking for answers. Oh, okay. Well, I guess we can just all go home now. Oh, my. I had a question. I'm trying to think of it now. Pat, you got something? Yeah.
I was thinking about, I posted the scripture in the chat. I'll do it again. Maybe I will. I'm not really quick at this. And I kind of broke down that scripture in 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, let me get back over on my e-sword here. Wherefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, they are become new. And I think that I was thinking of that is when Lana that brought it up about, I don't remember who it was now. We passed through so many things, but it was a comment that was made about being separated or protected, you know, from the evil one. Maybe it was the dream that we talked about at the beginning. But I remember looking at that word. It says, wherefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. And I think the King James says creation. But if you look at that word, it is a new, it means a new formation, something completely new, but it's a forming, it's a formation of something. Kind of on the idea, I believe that, you know, God created the elements and the mankind has the ability to form those elements into other things and create other things with those building blocks, so to speak. But this thing here was a new creation, a new formation, and what it brought to my mind as I was thinking about it is that this is something that has never been before. When we are born in Christ, we are translated out of a kingdom, out of a realm, and totally brought over into a completely different realm. Even though we can't see it, none of us, you know, can see that fact, but it is in fact happened. And the only thing that keeps us, there's nothing that can touch us from the kingdom of darkness. There's nothing that can touch us, harm us, destroy us, because it has no ability to, that darkness has no ability to go into our kingdom unless we believe he can. Unless we open the door and believe certain things. So there's certain things we can believe, and we can say, open a pathway and open, you know, whatever. So that's, I think that's why the Lord takes us through so much of a sanctifying process, because obviously that this process of being born again and moved over into that kingdom, in fact, we are in that different kingdom, but now God has to take these things that we believe or that we have confidences in that come from living in that world of darkness for so long. And he has to get us to unbelieve those things by our own will in order to remove the grasp or the foothold or the paths that the ways of darkness that the devil wants to use. And quite frankly, I believe God wants us to see these things. I think it's absolutely essential that we see them, we understand these paths, these deceptions and all of these sort of things, so that we, by our own volition, can jump on his side and say, no, we don't believe that, we cast it down. But the biggest benefit, other than the fact that we rid ourselves of that foothold, we are aware of that foothold and that path. And so one thing that I saw in the scripture that says that man of Christ, that born again believer, is a new creation. The moment that I believe, and a transition happened, and I become something entirely new that has never been in the world in existence before, never been here, and will never be another one. I speak of me, and I speak of you and everyone else who has believed in Christ. All of a sudden, whatever was before up to that point is no longer in existence, and there's an entirely new creation that has taken place. And again, I guess the thing I was thinking is, now it takes us time and takes God time to drag us through certain processes to raise our awareness to get us to believe it. And so I don't know, that's that just kind of came up to me a little before. It was that new creation. If you go back to Genesis 1:26, where God created man, he said, let us make man in our image. And therefore he spoke, you know, and he spoke, and he gave mankind the all of the authority, and gave him the command that to operate in that authority and to control the world. The world is yours, type of thing. And then in chapter two, he actually took and formed. He formed man out of the dust. And then he took that creation that he created in verse one, and he blew the breath of life in that formed man and became a living being, and so on and so forth. At that time that he formed Adam, there wasn't an Adam before. He was the first. Yet God spoke him into creation. He created him. but he didn't form him until chapter 2. And likewise, every one of us that have come into Christ after that, in like fashion, we have been formed a new, entirely new creation, starting again. So I don't know if that jogs any thought or whatever. So I'll just, verse 18 and 19 are good as well. But all things are of God, and who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and gave unto us the ministry of reconciliation, kind of what I was talking about there. He formed us a new creation, and now he's dragging us through the environment of this life to allow us to be aware of those things that hinder us and keep us connected to that world of darkness. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not reconciling unto them their trespasses, and having committed unto us the word of reconciliation, we are therefore ambassadors, therefore on behalf of Christ, as though God were entreating by us, we beseech you on behalf of Christ, be ye reconciled unto God, etc. So anyway, I just toss that out.
Amen. That's kind of what we were talking about today a little bit. That new man, that new creation. You're a brand new creation. And you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit abides in you. He moved into you and me, and he ain't left. He doesn't come and go all the time. He's there to stay. And when you understand the power that's within you as a new creation in Christ, he's given us the overcoming power over sin, over self, and over the world. And all we have to do is to cast down those vain imaginations that come across our mind daily. The enemy is always saying, well, why don't you do this? Why don't you say this? Why don't you think this? I'm going to throw something up there. No, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke that thought. I do. You choose to do what it is that you do. Whether we like it or not, we choose it. And what we do with that thought is whether or not you're the new man, the new creation. I understand that until we understand who we are in Christ, that we stumble around in the dark. But now it's time to focus in on absolute surrender to the Lord and ask him, the Lord, I want you. I don't want nothing else but you, because when I got you, I have complete power to overcome every thought that comes into my, yeah, it's time to roar, just like Benjamin's dream. Amen. And that's because we are filled with the Holy Spirit. He has all the gifts for us. All 9 gifts are there for us to utilize at whenever we need them. And what Missy and I were talking about this today. And to get more of God, stir up the Spirit in you. That's what the word says. Stir it up by praising God and praying in the Spirit. That's stirring up the Spirit of God in you. And when you do that, you'll be an overcomer. And also renew your mind with the Word of God. If you're not renewing your mind with the Word of God, you're full of doubt and unbelief. You're not walking like Jesus wants you to walk. But when we do, I know that we're restrained a lot of times by time. But what do you do with your time? I can tell you, I can confess mine. There's a lot of distraction. a lot of distraction in my life that I'm moving out and asking God to help me to quit being distracted all the time. You know, you go in there to look something up in the Word of God, and you see that YouTube app. You know what I'm talking about? Well, maybe I can go in there just for a second to check this out. And then, like somebody said last week, 4 hours later, but we have to consciously make the effort. Lord, I want you, and I don't want nothing else. Because when I got you, I got everything that I need. I have peace. I have joy. I have love. And the enemy cannot touch me. And when we do that, we'll get to that hundredfold fruit real quick where the enemy can't even touch you. You'll be completely surrounded in a sphere of safety because God said, look at that, there's my boy. Ain't nothing going to touch him. Devil, look out because he's coming after you. Or my daughter. My daughter, look at her, man, she's a hundredfold. Bless God, we're going to protect her and we're going to give her power to go after the enemy. Go ahead, Missy.
You know, I was thinking about what Michael's talking about. And the more our mind is renewed, the more we dwell in heavenly places. And, you know, why is it he will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee? That's because we have the mind of Christ. We have a mind of Christ. It stayed on him. And like I said, the more our mind is renewed, the more we dwell in heavenly places. Our thoughts on things of the Lord. And nothing can touch us when we dwell in heavenly places. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. That's just part of it. But yeah, the Lord showed me a new way to pray. I used to pray, Lord, we have your eyes, we have your ears. We have your mouth, we have your mind, we have your hands, your works, we have your feet, we have your walks, we have your heart. But he showed me, he put it in me the other day to pray, we are your eyes, we are your mouth, we are your ears, we are your heart, we have your heart, we are your heart. We are your hands in this earth, we are your feet in this earth. It says if you abide in him, you ought to walk as he walked in this world. As he is, even so are we in this world. You know? And he was the Word made flesh. And we are by faith the Word made flesh. We're growing into that, but by faith, you know, we're growing into that to manifest the Lord. You know, we're growing into that.
Amen. Amen. Let me read what I put down back in November of last year. I put down the Holy Spirit abides in me. He moved into me and he stayed. He doesn't come. He doesn't go. Therefore, he can show you things to come every day. And it's not about a particular gift that activates. Listen to this. We have the Holy Spirit. So whatever gift he has, we've got in us. Activated it anytime he sees that we need it, it's coming. It may be dormant. It may be potential. Or whatever, they're there. He that is joined with the Lord is one spirit with the Lord. You are joined together with him. And because we're joined together with him, we have access to wisdom, knowledge, revelation, and understanding. All these things that Paul prayed for the churches, we have access to right now because he's present with us right now. And remember this, his primary job is to guide you into all truth. So if you need a truth on something in the Word of God, ask him and he'll show you. All of us have done that at times. We need to know something. Lord, is this true or what? We are the light. And now that the Holy Spirit resides in me, I don't know where I was going with that one. Oh, once we figure out the power that's in us, there's not one temptation that we cannot overcome. And with the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, our mind and nature is changed so that you no longer like those temptations that come to you. And when you no longer like those temptations that come to you, you've got them beat. You've got them beat. Oh, yeah, go ahead, Angelica.
Amen. Well, I just blessed by what everyone is saying, because I was actually in the Real Good News and this past week or so, and kind of the Lord, because I was just having a lot of problems, but anyway, the Lord kind of is just, you know, showing me the same revelation you guys are talking about, you know, that, you know, I think I've lacked some like imagination, you know, of being able to see the new creation, because, you know, we have to be able to see it. You know, David has often talked about how, you know, we need to engage, you know, everything, you know, the new man, you know, our eyes, you know, our spiritual eyes, our spiritual ears, our mouth, our confession, our walk, everything, in order to bring it forward by faith. And so the example that I was, you know, the Lord kind of gave to me was that, you know, if you close your eyes, you know, right now, you close your eyes, you're not, those are your natural eyes, your physical eyes. And you can't defer to the natural senses for input. And so, but you still have the mind of Christ there, and the mind of Christ can lead you if you listen to the mind of Christ. And you have that imagination. And so I thought that was pretty cool how the Lord kind of, that's what it's like to walk in the Spirit, is if you're physically blind, right? And you're, and you know, of course, I don't want anyone to be actually blind, but, you know, if you close your eyes in the natural realm, you can't use them. And so God wants us to shut off the inputs that we get from the natural senses to help us, that, you know, that basically help us to not believe in the word or the promises or you know, have faith for them or whatever. And so that was the example the Lord showed me. So that's kind of nice that everyone else is kind of getting the same kind of understanding there. And, you know, that the body of the flesh was done away with, that it was cut off at the cross. And then he was showing, you know, now then I got reminded about baptism, how, you know, we were baptized into the name, and that's the nature, character, authority. So that's the renewing of the soul, the mind, will, and emotions. And so, and then ultimately in body, you know, how Satan wants to, you know, and the Lord allows us to be tempted with different trials of our faith concerning our body. But ultimately our body is the vehicle that God wants to use to, you know, preach the gospel to wherever, for whatever purpose he has us for. So we have to protect this whole new man simply by not allowing the input of that, of those outward senses, and being renewed with, you know, and being able to imagine yourself as the new man. And that's been helping me to have more faith. I just wanted to share that.
Amen. Yes, that's exactly right. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. All right. Claire had her hand up a while ago. Where'd she go? Okay. All right, anybody else on the new man, the new creation?
Yes, my brother. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, see, that's some of the revelations the Father's been dealing with me with for the last years, and that was when you look back, and they had the temple. You know, they were told to build a temple, and in that temple there was the ark, and only the priest can go in there to make the sacrifice for sin, so that the sin was covered. But in there was the ark, in the holy place, in the holy of holies, I mean. Now, in that ark was the power and the presence and the glory of God. Because if he went in there and didn't do the sacrifice properly, they were pulling him out by the rope. Now Paul says, do ye not know that you are the temple of the living God, made without human hands? So now, if we are the temple, and we've been born from above, or born again, which means, like you were saying, Dave, Michael, that our spirits now have been made new. That's where the Holy of Holies is. That's where the power, the presence, and the glory of God are, in the new man. So now our soul has to be saved. So the more we go through the fiery trials, our souls are being purified. From what? The old man, the old thoughts. Because we know that the flesh doesn't inherit the kingdom, nor does the flesh will the flesh be able to come near the presence of God. So the more our soul is purified in what? Obeying the truth, the more he draws our soul into the spirit, the more we live in the Holy of Holies, the more we live in the temple. And that's why the enemy, that's why the enemy is always trying to distract us and get us to fall into that sin, or distract us, you know, from the word of the renewing our mind, so that we don't reach the maturity to live in the temple. With the Almighty God. And then I'll shut up with this, because there's that one scripture that says, you will get to a place where you go in and you come out no more. So we will live in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. You know, in the parable of the sower, he talked about 30, 60, and 100-fold. How many of you want the 100-fold? And how many of you know this, that the 100-fold is available to you? If he put it out there, it's available to you. And the 100-fold fruit is it. We talked about it just a minute ago. We walk in a sphere of the sphere, I'm talking about all the way around us, of safety, joy, peace, no fear, no anxiety, no nothing. just knowing that you're with God and the devil can't put his hand on you. You'll endure happy, peace, joy, health, provisions, all of those things in the Lord, 100-fold. You will not be hit with health issues. You will not be hit with provisional issues because God knows your thoughts before you do. And he'll fix you up. But it's getting there. You know, we have to do like he told us to do. You know, we're saved by grace, but we have those ifs in there as well. If we cast down those vain imaginations that comes up into our mind, it gets us sidetracked a lot of times. All right, anybody else? Can't y'all just feel this 100-fold fruit coming on us?
Oh, yeah.
There's going to be more people than you think coming into that 100-fold fruit because they want God more than they want themselves. Women and alike. Hey, William, hang on just a second. That's hot. Hang on, I'll give you just a minute here. I done forgot what it was. Go ahead, William.
That's the beauty of it. You can see, like David and Sharon, that the man-child is going to, or the bride, or the man-child is going to teach or lead, right? Therefore, as we allow it, when the Father brings the comfort in, we're going to be like the Joshua and Calebs that lead them in to the Holy of Holies.
Okay. All right. Praise God. All right. Anybody else? Anybody got any questions as to how to attain this? Yeah, Pat. Go ahead, Pat.
I didn't have a question. I didn't raise my hand for a question. But do you want me to shut up and tell somebody raises a question? Or just speak?
Go ahead.
So I was thinking about this, even the conversation tonight. And a few meetings ago, I asked everybody to raise their left hand. And the reason for it, if you look at my face right now, You see me as I am. If I were to meet you on the street, you see me as I am. But this is not the me that I see every day. I see this guy. Do you see the difference? This is how I am, if you see me on the street, but this is the guy I see every morning and have looked at every morning in the mirror. It's an illusion. It's an approximate representation of me, but it's not me. It's the one I look at in that mirror every day. It's the one that when I raise my left hand, the person looking at you I raise my left hand and I'm looking at a person that they're, I don't know how to explain it. I'm probably going to get muddled up. But this way, I'm raising my left hand right now. And it's, when you're looking at me, it's my hand is on the right. But if I'm looking in the mirror, this is my same hand, but it's on my person's left or right or whatever. What I'm saying, it's a reverse image. This mirror that I look at into every day, and I've gotten used to every day, it's not really the real me. The people looking at me see me the real way. So therefore, a true perspective of me will tend to come from without of me, outside of me, looking in. And when you think about what God's word tells us to do, David's favorite verse, but we with all with unveiled face, beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed in that same image from glory to glory, even as the Lord, the Spirit. And what are we looking at in the Lord, in the mirror? We're looking at the Word of God. And as we look at the Word of God, for the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and is a thoughts and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intentions of our heart. And so if you look back at Jeremiah 17, that it's an interesting verse that he's talking to Jeremiah. He says, the heart is deceitful above all things and is exceedingly corrupt. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the mind. I try the heart, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. And so I guess the example that I got from that is that this man that I see in the mirror every day is not really a true representation of myself, but I can trust what I see in the Word of God and what the Word of God says about me. I can transfer my trust from what I see in the mirror over into what the Word of God says. And I see in the mirror the new Jesus, the Jesus that is within me, and I can trust that is happening. But I can't always trust myself as making, say, the right decision or the right perception. It will many times come from without, God bringing something into my mind, into my heart, coming from without, outside of me, in towards me. When he says in Proverbs, the reproofs of correction are the way of life. And it tells me that it's something that's God is bringing into my life, bringing into my way to shake me or rattle me or whatever it would be, so that my eyes search the Word of God instead of trusting in what I'm seeing in that mirror before me. So anyway, I don't know if that's a, I just thought it was kind of interesting that we can get used to looking in the mirror, but it's not really the real you or the real me. Anyway, that's all.
Amen. Yes, I believe that, Michelle. Claire, you had something you wanted to say earlier. Go ahead.
Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
I had this vision the other day. You know, I've been thinking so much about what it means to have 30, 60, and 100-fold fruit, and how does that look, and what, you know, and I've just been asking the Lord to reveal it to me and to show me, and he gave me this vision of people looking like holograms, and he showed me that some people only had like 30% of the hologram, and the rest was gone. And then the next group of people were like 60% hologram. So most of them, you know, most of them were there. They're looking pretty good. They look pretty whole. And then there was a very select few that had like 100% hologram. So they were completely filled with this hologramic sort of light, you know, like a northern lights or a, you know, the southern lights sort of shining through this hologram. So now I know what I need to look for in the mirror when I look at the mirror, because if I look at my flesh, there's just always going to be flesh, right? Like there's always going to be this stuff here. But if I can just look past that and look at what he sees, and Pat said it so beautifully when he explained Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2 and what the, you know, he first created us and then he formed us. I want to know what that creation looks like. I don't care for the form. And anyway, I thought I'd mention the image that was given to me, or the vision, because I think it is very helpful when we are walking this path to just continuously see it as much in the spiritual as what we can. And then I also wanted to share this, that when I came to Christ, things changed so rapidly. And so quickly, and I think everyone can attest to this, my mom didn't recognize me, my own mother. You know what I'm saying? Like my nature was changed, my personality changed, my likes and dislikes changed, the way I spoke about things and how I saw the world, it changed. And she could not accept it, her and a whole bunch of other people, because it was just such a change. I don't say that to puff myself up. I say that because that is what is required. It's that normal life that when we come to the knowledge of the truth and we come to this realization that we are dead to sin and alive in Christ, then we can, like, it was just like an evangelizing moment for me. Whenever my mom would come at me or come against me, I'm like, oh yes, because she doesn't recognize Christ, right? Like she just doesn't, bless her. And 12 years on, or 13 years on, or however long it's been, I don't know. I was on the phone with her and my aunt or her sister the other day. And for about 20 minutes, they were just, you know, doing what people do. And they were just moaning and stuff. And I was listening. And then I said, well, can I pray for you? My aunt is spirit-filled. So my aunt was like, yeah, sure. And I prayed. And again, it was like light and day. My aunt could receive it and she could recognize it and she could love it. And she said, and I could see this one particular spirit just leave her, and she was lighter and she's been amazing since then. My mom could not understand because she still hasn't had that. I believe she's had a heart change. I do believe that. I just don't believe she's had the Holy Spirit come to dwell in her. And so, so it's just interesting how we're supposed to be coming more into that holographic image, and that the things of this world should not recognize us because we are completely new. So that was my own revelation of the past couple of days, and just how amazing that the Lord put it on Pat's heart to share. And I'm just so blessed when everything works together and the body is working, and it's just wonderful. And I'm so blessed by this discussion. Thank you so much.
Amen. Amen. That's a good vision. Thank you. Go ahead, Isaac. Thank you, Claire.
Hey. Hey, everybody. Yeah, that was awesome. Something that, you know, I feel like the Lord's been putting on my heart to do here lately, the last few weeks. Well, actually, for some time now, but I feel like I've been remembering more often these last few weeks. Now, I'm not saying you have to do this, but I do it for me to actually recognize it. I'll actually go before the mirror in the morning and quote 2 Corinthians 3:18. And I really try to look at myself. But I try to look in my eyes, you know, my eye be single. And I quote that over myself. And I always try to envision Christ as I've seen him in my dreams before. And it's almost like a tune out of who I am to who Christ is in me. Because that time ago, I was listening to David Ill speak, and he said, and it was just so profound, that he said, basically said, do you believe there's anything that God wouldn't answer that Jesus prayed for? Of course, the answer is no. Would he do anything for Jesus? Yes. Do you believe there's something, do you believe he'd answer every prayer you prayed? Well, maybe. Well, that's not really the biblical, because he sees you as he sees Christ. And it was so profound. And so I always thought about that. So one month, this is last year, when I was in Texas. So I was praying to the Lord. I said, Lord, show me how you see me. Show me as a son how you see me. I wanted to see it. And so I had a dream where I was looking in the mirror. And it's one of those mirrors that have the LEDs on the outside. And I was very mature in a dream, but yet not aged, weird as that is. And I was just looking in the mirror. And that was that. Well, praise the Lord, right? So then, what much long after that, I had another dream to where I was in front of an assembly of people. I actually had a church to where they never really received me. And there was some false doctrine there. But, you know, I feel for them, but that's another subject. But in front of that, I was speaking. But I was also Middle Eastern. It was like I was looking like a Middle Eastern man. I knew it to be Jesus, but I knew it was me. You know, it's real weird. Well, not weird at all. It's actually expected, and that's my expectancy. That's what I believe anyways. And so I don't know. I know 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this. I think all you guys have it memorized. But we all with the unveiled face beholding us in the mirror, the glory of the Lord, are transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord, the Spirit. And I think David, King David also knew this too. In Psalms 84, 6 and 7, it says, passing through the valley of the weeping, they make it a place of springs. Yea, the early rain cover it with blessings. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them appears before God in Zion. And I think that's what we're doing, from strength to strength, right? From glory to glory. And then in Zechariah 10, 8, it says this, I will hiss for them and gather them, for I have redeemed them, and they shall increase as they have increased. And the rest of that's really good, actually. So it's all the way throughout the Bible, man, from strength to strength, from glory to glory, increasing to increasing, Christ in us, the hope of glory. So, yeah.
Amen. Thank you, Isaac. That was good. All right. Anyone else? It all boils down to how bad you want Jesus. How bad do you want God? How bad do you want, or how, I shouldn't say bad, how good do you want to get close to Jesus and the Lord? Come down to that. Do we want to do it over and above what our self wants us to do? And that determines whether or not you're maturing to the, and I'm talking to myself too, because I'm fixing to pray for myself and y'all too. But that's what it comes down to. Y'all remember that book, Absolute Surrender by Andrew Murray? It's an awesome book. It gets you fired up and want to do that. David has Sanctification for a Blessing. That's another good one. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I repent for being distracted, allowing myself to be distracted. And I ask you forgiveness for that. And place it in me. Give me the power, Lord, to overcome that garbage. And place it always in my mind to keep my eyes focused on you, Father. And to always have my mind on the word of God when these trials come up. And to always follow. Do the things that the Spirit leads me to do in regards to my flesh and myself. It's not about me, it's about you. It's about you and becoming you. I believe that's why you came back, is so we'd have great union with the Father, like Adam had it back in the Garden of Eden, when he walked with Adam in the cool of the morning. And I believe he wants us to be in the same position. And that's why you brought Jesus here to die and be that reconciliation, that exchange. So we could come close to you. And like William was talking about, get into that Holy of Holies and commune with you all the time. Father, I thank you for placing that in me and in everybody here. In Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that this whole group here, this whole fellowship, would want to do the same thing, place it in their heart, and run after you with all their heart. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that. In the name of Jesus. Anybody else want to pray? Well, we've got 2 minutes left. Anybody got anything? Yeah, David, go ahead.
I'd like to pray as well.
All right.
Oh, Father, Lord, I agree with everything Michael was praying. Lord, I accept it for myself as well. Father, I also come in repentance for being distracted with the things that shouldn't take up as much time as they do. Father, help me stay in your word. Stay in your spirit full time. Or fill me with your spirit, with your love towards others, with your patience, and your kindness, Lord, and fill me up with love so I could even pass it on to others as well. Father, I pray this, Lord. I pray for your peace to fill our homes, fill our hearts, our minds. Lord, because if we have peace, we have your mind. And when we have your mind, Lord, there's no room for the enemy there. So, Lord, right now, Father, I bind up the spirits of distraction, the devil mindedness. Go right now in the name of Jesus. You leave this household right now in the name of Jesus. You get off everyone in this house. Lord, and by the authority you've given me, I take authority over my wife and kids and all you distracted spirits. Go now in the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for everything you've given me. And Lord, I know I don't give you enough praise for that, but thank you, Lord, for everything in my life. We're praising your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Go ahead, Joe.
I can just want to add that book you send out. It's amazing. It's a lot of stuff in the book. I want to read it again and again. The most amazing thing is how it says, in each man there's a king, there's a servant, and a slave. How profound that means. It says so much about each man. The king should be your spiritual man, and your slave should be your flesh. And how your spirit man should lead your life, and it says so much. I'm not sure if anybody have read that. That's brilliant. Thanks for that book, Michael.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? Well, Father God, I just thank you so much for a wonderful night. Wonderful night. We have so many good testimonies of the new man that's in us. And Lord, we thank you for placing it in our hearts to run after you with everything we've got. You told us if we run after you with all we've got, that everything else will fall into place. And we praise you, Father, that you're doing it in each of us. That out of this whole fellowship here, we're going to see a hundredfold fruit in everyone here. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, for placing it in our heart to hunger and thirst for you, Lord. And I know that you will fill that hunger and thirst with your presence. And I thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that when we talk to people, they're going to see that light up on the lampstand. It's going to be shining throughout. They're going to want to, they want a part of it. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to give us the words to say to people that'll change their whole lives. And I want to follow the God of the light. And Father, we just thank you for giving each and every one here good dreams and visions of the things to come. And the overcoming faith to help people. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for this great bunch of brothers and sisters that I love so much. And I praise you, Father, for bringing more to us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, all right. Praise God forevermore. Good night.